Hey everybody, so glad you're here today. Everybody watching online, glad you're here too. And I don't know how many of you were raised in church in the 1980s or went to school there, but anybody here know what a flannel board is? Yeah, we're going old school today. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my story, and we're going to use a flannel board to do it. So I'm feeling nostalgic today. But when I first got into college, things were going really well, right? My life was good. I was excited. I met a girl named Meadow. We got married. I was loving it. We actually, at that point, moved out to California. We lived in a beautiful area. It was 2 hours from the ocean, 2 hours from LA, 2 hours from the mountains. I was like, this is amazing. I got my first job out of college working at a church. I was the worship pastor at the church, and things were going really well. I was there for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then the church kind of took a downward turn. Things started going not as well, and the church ended up crashing and burning, metaphorically. It closed. We didn't have enough money, and the pastor there had made some poor choices, and so things didn't go well. And so then I found myself not so happy anymore. And I was a little worried about what I was going to do. I didn't have a job. I didn't know what to do. So I started applying for different jobs out there. And I found this place that needed someone to teach, because they were going to actually teach companies and like CEOs how to run software. So I went and applied. And the guy was like, the CEO of this company said, hey, you're a pastor? I said, yeah. He goes, so you might know how to teach. So why don't you come? I want to see you do a teaching session. Come in tomorrow and you can teach my staff how to do this certain software. And he gave me a book like this thick. He's like, learn this tonight. Teach it to us tomorrow. I'm like, okay. So I go home, I buy a suit with money I don't have. I get this book, I study like crazy. I come in the next day for my tryout, and I start teaching these people how to do software, right? And so all the people, not all the people, a lot of people from the company are sitting there watching me. I'm training them, like, so you do this, you click here, click there. And I see like the CEO, he's kind of like looking up, staring off into space, doing nothing. And I realize he's testing me, right? He wants to see what I'm going to do. So I walk up to him and I'm like, sir, you don't have to be here, but if you're going to be here, I'd like it if you could pay attention to me. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. You know? And so like, I'm calling the CEO in the middle of class, you know, and it was pretty good. Well, we got done and I finished. I'm like, okay, I'm done. You know, what do you think? And he stood up, he goes, that was the best presentation I've ever seen. It's too bad I can't hire you. And then he just walks out. I'm like, what the heck? What's all that about? So then his secretary comes to me and she's like, I feel like I should explain what's happening. He's a Christian and he sees that you're a pastor and he's afraid that if he hires you, you're not going to be a pastor anymore. So he's not going to hire you. You ever do the right thing and it goes wrong, right? Like I had no money, no job. I didn't know what I was going to do. I did the right thing. I applied for the right company. I did a good job of the interview, but it failed and it crashed and I burned. And at this point, I'm like, this is terrible. What I thought was going to be a great California experience, not so great. My life was going wrong and it didn't feel very good. And I think you've probably felt similar to me. I wanted to say, God, what are you doing? How did I get to this place that I'm at right now? I'm sure you've had moments where you did good and then bad things happen. Anyone here, just give me a mm-hmm if that's ever happened to you. Yeah? You do the right thing. And just today we're talking about what happens when people fail you, when you feel like God has failed you, when you do what is good and right, but you get nothing but bad in return. And to start this out, okay, we're going to study a guy named Joseph. But before we even get there, I want you to understand this principle that God's kingdom has. Okay, God's kingdom, how God runs the world, is a certain way. Now, I'm going to read a scripture to you that's kind of weird. Check this out. This is Matthew 5. This is Jesus talking, okay? Jesus says this. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Wait, hold up. I thought when I was blessed, that means I'm getting Lamborghinis. Right? I've got a house with a jacuzzi. Jesus says, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, when they're lying about you. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. Jesus is talking about, hey, the way you think things should be, I do things the other way. When you think you should be blessed with Lamborghinis, guess what? I'm going to bless you when you're insulted. Let's write this down. God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom. Will you say upside down kingdom with me? God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom. Jesus claims we should rejoice when we receive bad because our reward will be great. So here I am, I'm down and out, I've got no job, no place to turn, and it's this moment that God's saying, you're gonna be blessed. See, God's kingdom is like, if you wanna be rich, you give your money away. If you wanna be a leader, you learn how to serve people. If you wanna be blessed, you get insulted. It's way different than what the world tells you things should be like. Let's write this down. This is what I want us to remember today. When it feels like evil has won, remember that God is not done. When it feels like evil has won, remember that God is not done. Can we all say that out loud together? If you're watching online, I want you to shout it out too. I don't even care if you're at work in a cubicle and there's people beside you, okay? Let's say it. When it feels like evil has won, remember that God is not done. Now you've got two options today. You can learn what God's gonna do through these rough, difficult patches in your life and what you're supposed to do with it, or you can keep holding on to the fear, the pain, the frustration of going through rough times. And I'm hoping that you'll choose the first option, which is to learn what God wants to do with you through this. We're gonna examine the life of a guy named Joseph. If you grab your Bible and turn to Genesis 37, you can use the Bible in the chair in front of you, or you can use your phone or whatever, but we're gonna turn to Genesis 37. So that'll be on page 31 if you're using the Bibles here. You'll find the giant 37, that's the chapter number. And then you'll come all the way down to that little tiny two. It's right there, that's the verse two. Big numbers are chapters, little numbers are verses. All right, so we're gonna be talking about a guy named Joseph. Joseph was Jacob's son. Jacob had two names, just remember this. Jacob is Jacob and Jacob is Israel. You know the nation Israel. Well, they came from a guy named Israel. So Jacob, Israel, same guy. His son is Joseph. Let's start reading verse 2. This was the account of Jacob, or Israel, family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, so he's a shepherd, the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. All right, y'all ever heard snitches get stitches? All right, so you already know this is gonna turn out bad for Joseph, right? He's doing good, but he brings a bad report about his brothers. So do you think his brothers are gonna like him? No, because he's snitching on them. Like, hey, dad, they're not watching the sheep. Look at verse three, the next one. Now Israel, that's Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age and he made an ornate robe for him. Okay, so we got Israel or Jacob, okay? And Jacob loves his son. Now this isn't me anymore, this is Joseph, okay? Jacob loves Joseph. He's just like, man, this is my best son. He was really old when he had him, so he's like, this is my last chance. You know, he buys him a colorful coat to show him that he loved him. Back then, multicolored coat was a big deal because having a dye or a color was expensive. And so it was he got him the coat with lots of colors. That was a big deal. There was a musical out a number of years ago called Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, right? Like, boom, this was a big deal. It showed that he loved Joseph so much. Let's read verse 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph's got some brothers, and his brothers are not very happy. Would you be happy if your parent loved a sibling way more than you? Probably not. So Joseph's life gets harder because his brothers hate him. I don't know how many of you had a family member or an entire family that hated you, but it's not easy, is it? Or even when a family is mad at you. It's not easy. Well, Joseph, even though his dad loved him, his brothers, and he had 11 brothers, so there's a lot of family there. They all hated him. Look at verse 5-8. Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream from God, by the way. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field. Okay, so they're taking grain. They're putting it together, big bundles. And when we were binding sheaves of grain in the field, suddenly my sheaf rose and stood up, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. his brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us?" In other words, Joseph says, like, my dream's from God. My dream means that I'm going to be standing up. You're all going to bow down to me. And his brother's like, will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. His brothers absolutely hated him. Now, this story about Joseph covers 13 chapters in the Bible. I'm not going to read all of that, okay? So I'm going to skim some of it. Is that okay with everybody? Because otherwise we have to be here till like 4 o'clock. So you go ahead and read that at home on your own time. I'm going to skim this next part. What happened was he has another dream. He says, I saw the sun, the moon, the stars, which represented his father, his mother, and his brothers and sisters, everybody. He said, they all bowed down to me. This just ticked his brother off, man. They were so mad. So what his brothers did is they decided they were going to kill him. Then they started talking about it, like, well, we can't kill him. You know, that's not okay. So we should sell him into slavery. So they sell him to a group of traveling people, and they sell him into slavery. At this point, Joseph's life has about hit rock bottom, hasn't it? Like, this dude, he was living large, his dad loved him, and now he's a slave. Let's write this down. Joseph had a dream from God, but his brothers sell him into slavery. So he gets sold into this guy's house named Potiphar, okay? Potiphar works for the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. So Potiphar's like this royal guy. And all Joseph had done was he received a dream from God and he shared the dream with his family. Now, was he annoying? Let's be honest. He was a little annoying, right? I mean, he was telling on his brothers. He was like, hey guys, I think God told me that you're going to bow down to me. Just let me give you a little piece of advice. You ever have a dream like that? Don't tell the people, okay? Because they're not going to like it, okay? So he's telling on, he's a little annoying, but did he do anything deserving to be sold into slavery? Help me out. Did he do anything deserving to be sold into slavery? No. But here he is. He's doing pretty good in life. Now all of a sudden he's a slave. Had he wronged them? No. Had he done evil? No. Joseph hadn't done anything wrong. When it feels like evil has won, remember that God is not done. When it feels like evil has won and you're sold into slavery, even though you did what was right, remember that God is not done. So what Joseph does is he works with a guy named Potiphar. He does really well, and Potiphar likes him now. Check this out. This is Genesis 39. We're going to read verses 2-4. So you have to flip over a couple pages to chapter 39. Look at verses 2-4. The Lord was with Joseph. Wait, who is with Joseph? The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Okay, so things are going better for Joseph, right? He gets put into slavery, but actually he goes to this guy, Potiphar. He starts doing what's right. Things are going okay. Potiphar likes him. He gets put in charge of everything in Potiphar's house. Joseph's like, you know what? I'm doing okay now. He's working for a rich Egyptian, and he's in charge of it all. What did Joseph do? He got put in jail, or he got put in slavery, and then when he was in there, he connected with God. He relied on God, and then he did the next right thing. Does this sound familiar to anybody from last week? Right, Nehemiah was the same thing. Nehemiah connected with God, and then he did the next right thing. Again, connected with God, then he did the next right thing. And wherever Joseph finds himself, he connects with God, and he does the next right thing. Just where he's at. Is he at home? He's going to do what's right. Is he a slave? He's still going to do what's right. Things start to look up for him. He gets put in charge of everything for Potiphar. He's the boss. He's in charge of Potiphar's house. He controls the money. And then Potiphar's wife was like, you know, Joseph's kind of hot. So she's like, hey, Joseph, you should come to my room tonight. Potiphar's gone. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. She's like, come on, man. Come on, you look good. I look good. We know what that means. It's not exactly how the Bible puts it, but you get it, right? She tries to get him to sleep. And he's like, I am not. He actually says, look, my master has put me in charge of everything that is his. The only thing I'm not supposed to touch is you. I am not touching you. So she accuses him of rape. And he gets put in prison. Let's write this down. Joseph worked hard and was very successful in Potiphar's house. He refused to commit adultery, was falsely accused of rape, and was thrown into prison. So Joseph now is in prison and people think he's a rapist. Now, before you think anything political, this is not about Kavanaugh or the Supreme Court hearings. Just want to clear that up, right? That's not what this is about at all. Rape is nothing to joke about. It is very serious. Let's just put it out there, though. In today's culture, even being accused of rape could ruin your life, couldn't it? And look, 3,000 years ago, it was no different. Our world hasn't changed that much. Joseph was accused of doing something he didn't do. He got put in prison. And so what is he going to do in prison? He's going to connect with God. He's going to do the next right thing. Now, what's funny is when you're facing a hard time, you often want to quit. Give me a if you know what I'm talking about, right? You face this hard time. Things aren't going right, especially if you are doing what is right and everything still goes wrong. You're like, why am I even trying? Has anyone ever felt that way? Like, why am I even trying? So Joseph's now in prison. And instead of saying, why am I quitting or why am I even trying? He's going to say, what do I need to do, God? And he's going to do the next right thing. Too often, we just want to get out of slavery. Too often, we want to just get out of jail. We want to avoid our jerk friends who hold us accountable. We want to get out of the situation we're in. But that's not what Joseph does. Where he is, Joseph says, even right here, in the worst of circumstances, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. God's kingdom is upside down. Joseph knows this. At the moment he is falsely accused and put in prison, this is the moment that God can bless him. You hear me? Jesus says, blessed are you when you are falsely accused. When people lie about you. So listen to me, this is important. In your life, when things start to go south, when everything goes wrong, even when you're doing what's right, when everything is bad, that is the moment you need to say to yourself, God is up to something. God is up to something. Because I know God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom. He doesn't work the way everyone thinks he's going to work. Check out Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 to 23. Okay, chapter 39. Verses 20 to 23, so you'll have the chapter 39. You can come over to the next column. You'll find the little numbers, 20 to 23. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. Who was with him? The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he is made responsible for all that was done there. Listen to this. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Now, I know some of y'all have been in jail in prison, and I'm just thinking, I don't know any prisoner jail where the warden's like, you know what? Y'all prisoners are pretty good. I'm just going to trust you. I'm out of here. See you later. Right? That just doesn't happen. But Joseph trusted God and did what was right so often, so hard for so long that the warden took notice of this and said, I just trust you, Joseph. You're now in charge of the prison. The prisoner was in charge of the prison. So even though Joseph's in prison, now he's doing pretty good. He's not doing bad. And so what happens is the prisoners start coming to him and asking for help. Two guys who worked for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, were in prison. They come to Joseph. They're like, man, we had some crazy dreams. Can you tell us what it meant? Joseph's like, yeah, I can interpret those dreams for you. So one guy, Joseph says, your dream means that even though Pharaoh kicked you out, you're going to come back. You're going to work for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt again. The guy's like, yeah, that's a good job. I like that interpretation. Second guy's like, well, why don't you give me one like that? And Joseph's like, let me tell you what your dream is. Even though Pharaoh kicked you out, he's going to invite you back. And the guy's like, that is not a good interpretation. Well, sure enough, that's what happens. Pharaoh brings these two guys out of prison. The first guy, the cupbearer, Pharaoh hires again. He works for Pharaoh again. The second guy gets killed. And what does Joseph say to these guys? He says, don't forget me. When you get up there and you see Pharaoh, tell him about me so I can get out of prison. Do you think the guys remember Joseph? No, they get out of there and they forget about Joseph for 2 years. For two more years, Joseph's in there until finally one of the guys goes, oh my goodness, I forgot about Joseph. Joseph has lost everything multiple times. He's done good, received bad. Done good, received bad. He just can't win. It would be easy for him to say, God has forgotten about me. Have you ever felt that way? I remember after my church closed and I couldn't get a job, God spoke to me and told my wife and I to come to Salina. I won't tell the whole story. It was really a God thing. Told me to come to Salina and start a church. So we started Revolution Church, and things started to look up. Like, we're like, this is amazing. This is the, and great people started coming to the church. And then we started doing foster care, and we got 3 kids, and we were in the process of adopting them. We were like, this is amazing. Our life was so good. And then someone falsely accused me of doing some stuff, and they took the 3 kids away. And I was broken. I went to see a counselor. I didn't know what I felt, but I knew it wasn't good. And the counselor just looked at me in the very first session. He said, do you feel like God let you down? And I didn't say those words, but as soon as he said them, I started crying. Because when we're going through something really difficult, and it is painful, and we don't know what God's plan is, sometimes we feel like God has let us down. But when it feels like evil has won, remember that God is not done. Do you hear me? When it feels like evil has won, remember that God is not done. There's a promise from God that you gotta hear. This is Deuteronomy chapter 31. This was originally written to the nation of Israel when they were about to go fight a war, but it was repeated in the New Testament. That's the portion of the Bible for us. So this is for us too. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. He'll never leave you. This is written to people who know and love Jesus. He will never leave you. That word forsake, when it says he won't forsake you, that was written in Hebrew. The Hebrew word means he won't leave you alone. He won't forget about you. He won't abandon you. Now listen, your biggest problem isn't whatever your issue going through right now is. No, your biggest problem was that you're a sinner who did something wrong, who offended God. Anyone in here ever done a sin that offended God? Just go ahead and say, yeah. Yeah, me too, man. Yesterday. Today, tomorrow, like we continually do what is wrong. And because of that, God is the judge of the universe. He has to judge us. That's our destination is hell. But Jesus came to earth. This is important. God saw your biggest problem and did not abandon you. He sent Jesus to earth. When Jesus went to the cross, he was punished for everything you and I had done wrong. So that Jesus punished instead of you. And if you accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers, you don't have to be punished by God. You can receive forgiveness and love from God. Your shame can go away. Your consequences can go away. It's an amazing thing. You just need to accept God's forgiveness. But here's the deal. If God didn't forsake you when you offended him, don't believe for a minute that God has forsaken or forgotten about you for the problem you're in the middle of right now. Don't think it. God has not forgotten about you. My favorite part about this verse is when it says, God goes before you. Do you know why I like this? I like this because this was written to Israel and they're about to get into a war. He says, God goes before you. So like when they were going into the war, it was like God was ahead of them. God was gonna fight for them. I want you to think about this in terms of your life and in terms of Joseph's life, okay? God goes before Joseph. Joseph is with his dad as a kid. He's got a coat of many colors. Did God know that someday Joseph was gonna be in prison, accused of rape and forgotten about? God knew that. Was God already there doing things and working so that Joseph could get out of that situation? Yes, God has gone ahead and God was absolutely at work right there. God knows, listen, God knows that you would be here today. God knows where you're going to be tomorrow. God knows the problems you're going to go through. And God has already gone ahead of you and dealt with what needs to be dealt with. Let me show you what I mean. Grab your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 41. Because he will never leave us. And in chapter 41, we see this with Joseph and God. Chapter 41, we're going to read verses 8 to 16. This is talking about Pharaoh, okay? Finally, these guys in prison remember, oh my goodness, Joseph is still in prison? Okay, Pharaoh has a dream. Verse 8 says, in the morning, Pharaoh's mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, this is when he remembers Joseph. Today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now, a young Hebrew was there, that's Joseph, a servant of the captain of guard. We told him our dreams and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position. The other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he is quickly brought from the dungeon. When he came, he had shaved and changed his clothes. He came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph said, replied to Pharaoh. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. What's he do here? He connects with God, right? God's going to tell you. He prays, he seeks God's wisdom, and he comes back to Pharaoh and he says, here's the interpretation of your dream. And he tells Pharaoh, so Pharaoh's dream was, long story short, he dreamt about 7 fat cows, 7 skinny cows. So Joseph comes to him and says, here's what the dream means. Egypt is going to have 7 years with lots of food. Then you're going to have 7 years of famine. People are going to die. And Joseph says to Pharaoh, you need to put someone in charge who can take all the bounty, all the stuff you have for 7 years and save it so that no one dies during the next 7 years. And Pharaoh said, you're the guy, Joseph. Pharaoh puts Joseph in charge of all Egypt at that point. Now, Joseph, who was in prison, forgotten about, is in charge of the greatest nation on earth. The only person more in charge than him was Pharaoh himself. Let's write this down. Joseph is brought into Pharaoh's home and is in charge of all of Egypt. What a redemption. He lives in Egypt. For 7 years, he collects people's food. And though Egypt is living large, he saves it. And then during the next 7 years, tens of thousands of people come and are saved because Joseph saved food for them. Not only are people's lives saved, Egypt actually starts to make money because Joseph saved all this food and people from other countries are coming and they're like, we need food. So Joseph starts charging them for the food. So not only does Egypt save lives, but now they're making money and they're rich and they're powerful. When it feels like evil has won, remember that God is not done. Do you think when Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers who hated him, he was in the back of the wagon think, this is going to turn out good? No. He probably thought evil had won. But when God sees you in a situation like this, when you find yourself down and out, you need to remember that God's not done yet. In fact, Joseph needed all of this before he could become this. God has brought you to where you are right now, and you are who you are because of what you've gone through. Do you agree with me on that? Listen, God's not done with you. He's going to bring you to be the person that he wants you to be. The kids that we lost, when we lost them, I was brokenhearted. But after we lost them, we had an opening in our home. We were able to adopt my son, Simeon, and then my daughter, Macy, who we never would have had we not lost them. And then God brought those 3 kids back to us, and the person who accused me falsely apologized to me for doing that. I didn't know, but I had to go through what I had to go through to get to the place that I'm at now. And even the false accusations have helped me understand people and help people in ways that I never understood. Listen, God wants to bring you through stuff. Some of it is painful to treat you and change you into a new person. Listen, way too often you are concerned with getting out of your current circumstance, when God wants you to be concerned with changing and growing because of your current circumstance. You hear me on that? Way too often, you just want to get out of it, but God's trying to grow you and change you because of it. Every event in Joseph's life prepared him to rule in Egypt and save thousands of lives. Joseph thought he was just suffering. God knew he was just in training. You have believed that you're just suffering, but God knows that you're just in training. God is preparing you. Remember way back at the beginning, Joseph had a dream that the stocks were going to bow down to his stocks and what it all meant? Well, guess what happens now? Joseph's father, who doesn't know Joseph is alive, is starving because of the famine. So he sends Joseph's brothers to Egypt to get some grain. And they show up in Egypt and they meet Joseph. They don't know it's Joseph because they're not thinking, you know, that brother we sold into slavery like 30 years ago, he's probably ruling Egypt now. That's not what they were thinking. they meet Joseph, and he's, I'm Joseph. And they're like, what? I'm Joseph. And they get freaked out. Look at Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 to 21. Genesis 50, 19 to 21. This is when his brothers come and meet him. Actually, we're going to start in verse 18. So page 44. His brothers then came, threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. How ironic is that? But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Listen to this verse. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. He forgives them and he says, I'll take care of you. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. I love that verse. I want to read it to you in a couple other versions. Check it out. This is the CEV. It says, you tried to harm me, but God made it turn out for the best. When an enemy attacks you, I want you to think about this. This is the ESV version. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. And what was Joseph's conclusion about the matter? It wasn't you that sent me here. It was God. That's a whole sermon about forgiveness. But right now I want you to think about God went before him. God knew where you would be. And God has put you there for a reason and allowed you to go through it. And let's write this down. What others intend as evil, God can use for good. Or you might say, when it feels like evil has won, remember that God is not done. What you see as suffering, God sees as training. Someone did text in and say, last service, someone texted in and said, is Joseph, King of Dreams, an accurate depiction of this story? And I think, I'm not familiar with that one. I think the Prince of Egypt is the cartoon version of the story that I know of. And as far as Hollywood depictions of the Bible go, it's relatively accurate. What I would suggest doing is just reading Genesis chapter 37 to 50. Maybe read it today. And then go watch the movie. It's actually, I like watching movies about Bible stuff because it brings it to life. But I want you to read the story in the Bible so you know the facts. So when the movie goes a little bit sideways, you're like, that's not what happened exactly. All right, let's go back to this. Let's do the practical application, okay? Because there's some truths we need to get in our brain. When I'm feeling down and out at my very worst, I must follow Joseph's example and keep doing the next right thing. And if I'm a Jesus follower, trust that God has not left me. How many times could Joseph have given up? I mean, he could have given up when his brothers hated him, or when he is sold to slavery, or when he's in prison, or when his buddies forgot about him. He could have even forgot when things were going well. I mean, how many times have you thought, you know, things are going pretty good, something bad's about to happen? But he doesn't quit. He just keeps connecting to God and doing the next right thing. What do you feel like quitting right now? Is it possible that God's not done with you there yet? Is it possible that God's trying to teach you something and train you for something in the future? Let's look at the next one. When bad things happen and people treat me terribly, I should remind myself that God can use anything for my good as long as I keep following Jesus. I would love you to shout the word anything, okay? I should remind myself that God can use anything for my good as long as I keep following Jesus. Anything. What did God use to prepare Joseph to rule Egypt? He used angry family who hates him. He used slavery. He used falsely being accused of rape and prison. He used his friends forgetting about him and turning their backs on him for years. Romans 8 says this. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Will you shout all things? We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, it doesn't matter if they turn your world upside down and lie about you and throw you in prison and throw away the key, because God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom, and God has already gone before you and seen what you're going through, and he is still more holding and changing and working on you. Believe that. So the question you need to ask before you leave today is this. You can write it down. My question, what is one difficult or painful thing that I'm facing right now? What step can I take to show that I trust God in the middle of this? For some of you, the step you have to take to trust God is to actually say for the first time in your life, God, forgive me for my sins. I trust you and I give you my life. Because you haven't actually trusted God with your life before. That may be the very first step you need to take. For others of you, how are you going to show that you trust God in the middle of your situation? You know, for Joseph, when he is put in prison with false charges, instead of joining a prison gang, he became a model prisoner. When he was sold into slavery, instead of hating his master, he did his job so well that his master couldn't have done it better. Where are you now? And what can you do that says, I'm not bitter. I'm trusting that God is something better, and he's training me right now for it. Where can you trust God with that? Who imagines, just who could imagine what God would do? Can you imagine what God would do? I mean, if God could take an annoying 17-year-old shepherd whose brothers didn't like him and turn him into someone who saved thousands of people's lives, what could God do with you if you just trust him and keep connecting and doing the right thing? When it feels like evil has won, remember that God is not done. And even though you think you're just suffering, remember, God knows you're just in training. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us hope, for promising that you've gone before us, that you've seen where we're at, that you're going to use us where we're at as long as we give our lives over to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord. I pray that you'll work on us and change us now today. Just keep your eyes closed for just 1 minute. I just want to say that I just feel like God's impressing something on me today. There's some people here who really want to give their life to God, but you've been scared to do it. And I would just ask you to just take that step and just do it. You're not going to like come up forward or anything like that. I just want to encourage you to do it. I don't know why you're scared, but just trust Jesus. Trust God, he's good. Jesus, help us with this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, look at me real quick. If you want to trust Jesus for the first time ever, I want you to write on the back of that card, just mark, I'm ready to accept Jesus' forgiveness. I really believe there's someone in here who's knowing they should do it, but you're scared to do that. I'd love to talk with you. God bless. Have a great week.